Power on.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Pop Culture Retro-Rama podcast. I'm your host, Vic Sage, and I'm here to share memories, thoughts, and information on all manner of retro-related properties. Movies.
Are you telling me you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Music.
I want my MTV. All right.
Comic books.
These ain't your daddy's comic books, fanboy.
And toys.
It's Castle Grayskull. And it's mine.
Broadcasting to you from the depths of the Pop Culture Retrorama Vault. So, come join us, won't you?
Now, you're playing with power.
We have transport.
Friends, thank you for joining us once again for the Pop Culture Retrorama podcast. For today's show, we have something a little different. This will be a special episode, much shorter than the standard show. In addition, it is my intention that this episode act as an apology of sorts for not being able to get out a regular episode for the month of November. You see, about the middle of the month, I became incredibly sick. It was a case of the flu, and for 2 weeks it had me down and out. And, if I'm being honest, I still have not 100% recovered. In fact, if you were kind enough to listen to the Diary of an Arcade Employee podcast, where I discussed 1982's Night Stalker for Mattel Electronics and Television System, you might have noticed I sounded a little strained. I mention this only because I received 2 emails pointing that out. So yet again, I do apologize about not being able to get a standard podcast episode out and hope that you will forgive me. For this special, I'm going to share with you the top 5 Thanksgiving specials that I watched this holiday season. A few of these I caught at the arcade I work at, and some helped me through the misery of being down and out with that flu. Not all of these will be specials as we normally think of them, say like 1973's A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Some of these are just Thanksgiving-themed episodes of a TV series, which is exactly what I'm starting with. The number 5 top Thanksgiving special for this year is 1986's episode of Amazing Stories entitled Thanksgiving. Written by Pierre R. Debs and Robert C. Fox, and directed by The Wizards' Todd Holland, Thanksgiving stars David Carradine as Calvin and Kira Sedgwick as his stepdaughter Dora Johnson. Two souls in desperate need of a holiday miracle. One, these poor folks need to find some water on their property, and fast, which is located in a desert town that has been mostly forgotten. The other holiday miracle is for Dora Johnson, because this 18-year-old is most assuredly being treated poorly by her stepfather. He constantly puts her down and is quick to anger, even at one point destroying her guitar, the one thing she takes comfort in. Things do begin to change, however, as this is an Amazing Stories offering, when, digging even deeper in their attempted well to reach water, Calvin finds the bottom of the well drop out from underneath him. Curiouser still is when he attempts to see how far the bottom is by lowering a flashlight into the hole. Down and down it goes until something appears to be tugging on the line that it's attached to. Once Calvin and Dora Johnson pull it back up, they have quite an incredible surprise.
Look. Gold. Pure gold.
For a flashlight?
The gold they bring up is shaped like 2 triangles and it has some weird symbol on it. It came wrapped in a message written in an alien language. As you might imagine, it doesn't take long for Calvin to realize that what gets sent down has the possibility of being taken, but there is that gold sent back up in return. As expected, he attempts to abuse this gift, and as it is an Amazing Stories, much like with the Twilight Zone, there is a karmic payoff. Number 4 on the list of top 5 holiday specials is 1979's Intergalactic Thanksgiving, or Please Don't Eat the Planet. which was, in all honesty, what I originally was going to cover for this month's Pop Culture Retrorama podcast. An Intergalactic Thanksgiving was an animated special produced by Nelvana Limited, now known as Nelvana Enterprises, the Canadian animation company responsible for the likes of Inspector Gadget and the often overlooked masterpiece that was 1983's Rock and Rule. Before that, however, they worked on television animated specials, producing 1977's A Cosmic Christmas, followed by The Devil and Daniel Mouse in 1978, and then both An Intergalactic Thanksgiving as well as Romeo and Julie 8 in 1979. In my youth, I was able to rent a VHS tape that contained these four holiday specials. And while The Devil and Daniel Mouse is my favorite by far, let me just say that I rented the tape so much that my father literally refused to rent it for me anymore at one point. I surely must have rented this thing hundreds of times. I would just sit in front of the TV and let it play. Once it was done, I would rewind it and start over. I'd watch it before school and when I came back home. One of those reasons is, obviously, I had no friends to speak of, but the truth is, Nelvana Limited put a whole lot of heart and soul into these specials, and it spoke to me. With An Intergalactic Thanksgiving, which also added the second title of Please Don't Eat the Planet, we are introduced to a space western of sorts, with cosmic travelers crossing the galaxy in souped-up covered wagons to find a suitable planet to colonize. Since the last planet they inhabited was rendered inhabitable due to pollution and such, one guess which planet that is. We follow one family in particular, known as the Spade Minders. Ma, Pa, and their daughter Victoria have settled on an alien planet called Laugh-A-Lot, one that is ruled by King Gucci, a planet where the funniest person is king and nothing is taken seriously, which is the exact opposite of the Spade Minders, who only believe in farming and hard work. So, the first meeting between the two is a little strained, to say the least.
You're the funniest. I'm absolutely hilarious.
It's time for the speech. Have you got it?
Yeah. We mean no harm. We bring peace. We bring goodwill. We bring tidings.
Did you bring presents? just kidding. Welcome to the planet Laugh-A-Lot. Put it there.
Victoria Spademinder is different, however. She yearns for a little amusement in her life, which is good timing to meet the king's son, Prince Not Funny Enough, who believes there has to be more in life than comedy. The real problem, though, is the citizens of Laugh-A-Lot do nothing but make jokes. Giant machines create everything they need. Food, clothes, you get the point. The machines are literally using up the insides of the planet itself. And before you know it, both families have to work together to save their children and the planet, all in time to celebrate An Intergalactic Thanksgiving, of course. Besides some incredible music, courtesy of Patricia Cullen, the real treasure with An Intergalactic Thanksgiving is the cast who lent their voices to the characters. King Gucci was voiced by the legendary funny man Sid Caesar, with Ma Spademinder being voiced by the talented Catherine O'Hara of Beetlejuice and Home Alone fame. Pa Spademinder was played by Chris Wiggins, a name that should ring a bell for you TV Terror fans out there, as he played none other than Jack Marshak in the exceptional show Friday the 13th, the series. Prince Not Funny Enough was voiced by Derek McGrath, who you might know from 1984's Pole Position animated series, or possibly as the voice of Chief Quimby in the new Inspector Gadget series. Okay, number 3 on the top 5 Thanksgiving specials is 1973's B.C. The First Thanksgiving, an animated special that is based on the long-running B.C. comic strip started in 1958 by Johnny Hart. I need to add that one of my fellow writers on the Pop Culture Retrorama site Allison Vinicio Preston, wrote an article about this very special and was published on Thanksgiving. Furthermore, BC, the first Thanksgiving, originally aired on November 19th of 1973. You owe it to yourself to read her article, as it goes into greater detail about BC, the first Thanksgiving. Now, when this special originally aired, I missed it, as I was barely a year old at the time. Although, I did see it on VHS, thanks to that same video store I rented an intergalactic Thanksgiving at.
I'm hungry. Hey, the fire's out.
Not only that, the soup's gone.
Man, I'm famished.
Me too.
Okay, guys, where's the turkey?
Well,
the
we...
soup's gone. The fire's
up. He got away.
He got away?
Well, you know, he...
Who ate the soup?
I didn't.
We just got here.
The fire was out.
Okay, there's only one thing left to do. We'll eat the rocks.
BC, the first Thanksgiving, is more interesting as an oddity of the time than anything else. While I do feel that it manages to capture a lot of what I remember in the comic strip and the newspapers in my youth, it's just a little off. The story concerns Fat Broad, yeah, who is played by Mouse on the Mayflower's Joni Summers, attempting to create a Thanksgiving stew. The only thing that's really needed is a turkey. The issue is, no one actually knows what a turkey is. So, it is up to BC and his friends to try and track down this turkey. Now, BC was voiced by the legendary Dawes Butler. You might know him better as the voice for Huckleberry Hound and Elroy Jetson. Just a few roles among the other 353 acting credits to his name. Wiley was played by The Lorax's Bob Holt, another equally legendary voice actor. And last but not least is Peter, who was voiced by yet another voiceover artist legend, Don Messick, who you will probably have heard as Papa Smurf, Scooby-Doo, and Toad, as well as Fly from the subject of my last pop culture retrorama podcast, The Drac Pack. In the number 2 slot, for the top 5 Thanksgiving specials this holiday season, it is none other than 1973's A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, which I need to add, I just read on Deadline that it managed to earn the top spot when it was shown last Wednesday on the 27th, when it aired on ABC, managing to capture over 5 million viewers. Now, while we celebrated at the arcade by watching it ourselves after we closed for the night, my friend and fellow co-worker, Miss Danielle, had a special treat for all of the players that came in the door that night. She had prepared a Thanksgiving feast worthy of the Peanuts, with popcorn, pretzels, and jelly beans. Considering the amount of people that came in through the door, it's understandable that she decided to leave the buttered toast and ice cream sundaes at home, right? A Charlie Brown Thanksgiving originally aired on CBS. Would you believe it was just one night after BC, the first Thanksgiving? This Thanksgiving special marked the 10th primetime animated offering featuring Charles M. Schulz's beloved Peanuts gang. The first being 1965's A Charlie Brown Christmas. I most definitely used to watch this in my youth. I would hardly ever miss a Peanuts animated offering as a kid. And while it might be nostalgia, watching it after close at the arcade on Wednesday night, it sure seemed to hold up just as well as it always does. Honestly, of any Thanksgiving special on my list this year, this is the one that I know I don't have to really talk about. You no doubt love it just as much as I do. Which brings us to the number one spot on 2019's Top 5 Thanksgiving Special list. And like with the number 5 spot, we are back to a TV episode. One that you are probably familiar with too, as it might possibly be the funniest Thanksgiving-inspired episode in the history of television.
The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet into the air. The third. There's no parachutes yet.
Skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes!
pushing each other? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity. People are running about. The turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement.
Yes, my friends, the number one spot is indeed the October 30th, 1978 episode of WKRP in Cincinnati entitled Turkeys Away. Back when I was writing for The Retroist, and as I've mentioned on a few of the podcasts, my father pretty much controlled the television when I was growing up. And while I was frequently allowed to watch what I wanted in regards to specials and such, there were a few things where he just refused to budge. I first saw WKRP in Cincinnati while visiting my cousin Brandon and Ashley in 1980. My aunt and uncle allowed Brandon and myself to sleep in the living room, making nice comfortable beds by way of plenty of blankets and pillows. Basically, at the end of the night, Brandon and myself would watch TV until we literally passed out. This is also the first time I watched a boxing match. The November 25th, 1980 rematch between Sugar Ray Leonard and Robert Duran. Anyway, that's beside the point. Our babysitter one night was an elderly woman who apparently enjoyed WKRP in Cincinnati. And that was the first episode I ever saw. A third season episode entitled The Baby, where the station's general manager, Mr. Carlson, played by Gordon Jump, rushes to his wife's side while she's giving birth, but finds that he has doubts about being in the delivery room with her. So it should come as no surprise that when I returned back from the trip and told my father how awesome this show was, it fell on deaf ears. It wasn't until he managed to catch WKRP in syndication that he changed his tune. This would actually play out the same for a lot of the TV shows that show up on my favorites lists. Night Court, Family Ties, and others. However, I can vividly recall my grandfather, my father, and even my grandmother, who actually wasn't that fond of comedy, all but rolling on the floor with Turkeys Away. That news report by Les Nessman, played wonderfully by Richard Sanders, never ever fails to get a huge laugh out of me, even when I'm down and out with the flu. By the way, this incident, like many on the show, was based on a real experience that the show's creator, the late and great Hugh Wilson, who had worked in advertising at a top 40 radio station, which was WQXI in Atlanta, Georgia, had heard from Jerry Blum, the then radio executive. The incident depicted in Turkeys Away supposedly happened at another station, not WQXI, in which live turkeys were either dropped from a helicopter or out of the back of a moving truck. The next time you get to watch Turkeys Away, I want you to take notice that Gary Sandy, Tim Reed, Howard Hessman, and Jan Smithers in the episode are listening to a recording of Richard Sanders' report, because there are moments where Gary Sandy turns from the camera, as does Tim Reed, trying their best not to bust out laughing as we the viewers do. There's even a couple of times that Hessman covers his mouth in an attempt to stifle a laugh. I'm sure, in the near future, that WKRP in Cincinnati will be the subject of a pop culture retrorama podcast of its own. Friends, I think that brings us to the end of this pop culture retrorama special. But before I begin the usual end of the podcast spiel, I want to share with you a few things that I am personally grateful for. For one, I'm extremely grateful for my fellow writers on the pop culture retrorama site. Ashley Thomas, Rockford J., Gary Burton, Rob O'Hara, Earl Green, IC Robots, and of course, Allison Venizio Preston. In addition, I want to give thanks to Anthony Rotello, who is the host and creator of the excellent TV Terror podcast. His show never fails to entertain, and I highly recommend you check his podcast out. I also want to thank Big Willie of Arcade USA, who has allowed me to share some of his fantastic videos, whether they be about 80s toys and board games, to discussions about classic arcade and home console offerings. A big thanks to Sean and Nicole Johnson of the Horrified Chicken podcast. While their show is not exactly a clean cast, if you are a fan of horror movies, I believe you will quite enjoy their show. I'm thankful for the friendships of Between the Pages, J. Jones Goldstein, Charlton Hero, Dave's Comic Heroes blog, and all my fellow members of the Super Blog Team Up. Every single day, they have my back, going above and beyond to help share my articles and podcasts. It should go without saying, I want to give thanks to The Retroist, who for almost a decade not only acted as mentor, but was kind enough to become one of my best friends. I am glad that after a brief hiatus, he has returned to the podcasting and blogging world. In fact, he just tackled the Garfield Thanksgiving special on his podcast. Last, but most certainly not least, thank you, friends, for taking the time out of your busy schedule and listening to me ramble about things pop culture and retro-related. Considering there's only about 50 million podcasts out there, I truly do appreciate it that you are kind enough to listen to the show. For what it's worth, you can generally find me writing multiple times a day on the Pop Culture Retrorama site. If you want to check it out, you can go to www.popculturetrorama.com. In addition to that site, I am also contributing daily on the Facebook page for the site, as well as the Diary of an Arcade Employee and Saturday Fright's Facebook page. If you have any comments on the podcast or maybe suggestions for a future episode, you can contact me at vicsagepopculture@gmail.com. The Pop Culture Retrorama podcast is available on iTunes and Google Play, as well as Spotify. If you like the show, why not help us attract new listeners by leaving us a review, a rating, and subscribing on iTunes? Helping spread the word about the show with your friends and fellow pop culture aficionados is always appreciated. The music you heard at the beginning and ending of our show is courtesy of Earl Green's TheLogbook.com, kindly used with his permission. I want to personally thank the Retroist again, who for nearly 10 years allowed me to share my love of all things retro, including creating podcasts like this one and others. This has been a Pop Culture Retrorama podcast. Goodbye, and thanks for listening. The Pop Culture Retrorama podcast is not affiliated with or authorized by ABC, CBS, or any of the businesses and individuals that have been mentioned in the show. All music and sound clips from the Thanksgiving specials and episodes are the property of the respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. Audio clips are included for the purpose of review, criticism, and commentary only, and are not intended to infringe.